Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Wow. Just to be fair, I have to tell you, I didn't find one commentary this week that was excited about this gospel. This would have been one had I called Pastor Mayer, and he would have said, probably, Bill, you should preach on the Psalm. But that's not how I do things. So we're going to begin this morning, because of the text itself, talking about baseball and golf. Why wouldn't you, right? You know, as a young man like many of you, I enjoyed baseball. I played Little League in my hometown. I did a little high school baseball as well. For the most part, I was pretty versatile. I could play any position in the outfield. One time I did a little catching, and even in high school I did some pitching. And I was probably fair at all of it. I would not say that I was a standout at any of it. Really, until I got to the plate with a bat in my hand. Okay? For some reason, as a little kid, I had developed a very good natural swing, and God gave me, then, a good pair of eyes. So when people talk about when that pitch is coming in, if you're really concentrating on the ball and you can see the threads of the ball, I can see the threads of the ball. Now, I was no home run hitter. I was what they call a slapstick hitter. All I wanted to do was get bat on ball, get it into play, and find a way to get on base. And I was pretty good at that. I had over 20 hits. My last year I played a full year for the high school as a sophomore. So I was pretty good at that. The reason why? I had a comfortable swing. And all the mechanics that it took to come up and do this were automatic. They were instinctive. I didn't have to think about it. All I had to do was watch that ball come out of that pitcher's hand and try to get wood on it. That's what I did. And at that point in time, I was fairly successful at it. Now, when you take a look at my golf game, that's a whole other story. Golf is something that I dabbled with from little on simply because Dad played golf once in a while. But as Dad got older, his attention turned to golf, and I wanted to spend time with him doing that. So I got a set of clubs. I paid for lessons. I did all the right stuff. I even had a membership at one time where I was probably playing twice a week. And yet there was never a time where when I approached the ball, especially the tee off, that there was not a checklist going on in my head. Literally. Keep your left arm straight. Balance out your weight. Did you take the club away right? Don't get it too high, okay? Because then you spin everything out of proportion. And I'd come through, and sometimes I did it, sometimes I wouldn't. And nothing's changed. Okay? I can go out and enjoy a game of golf, but there's nothing comfortable about it. Nothing. It's all a checklist. And I would imagine that the amount of time that I put into it, it will always, always remain that way. One of the reasons why I enjoy watching golf on TV more than baseball is because baseball I was comfortable with and golf I wasn't. So when I watch the pros on TV, although many people liken that to watching paint dry, I appreciate it because I understand what it takes a little bit as to do what they do, and they do so well. But the important thing to always remember, regardless which one you're looking at, is that even the pros hit a ball out of bounds once in a while. Even the pros hit a ball in the water. When I was my sophomore year in high school, I didn't get hit every time. I struck out like everybody else, hit a foul ball. Doesn't always work that way. But the difference between the two was one became part of me, whereas the other probably never will. And it's just something that I have to learn to live with and just enjoy the games for what they are. Moses lays before the people life and death. And he lays before the people a conditional promise of the Lord that says, if you do this, God will do this. And if you don't do this, God is going to do this. That you will not live long in the land that I promised to to your ancestors. And so, not only were there the Ten Commandments there, but there were all kinds of different ordinances and statutes. Jack, if you would, help me out. What was that number again? 613. 613 ordinances and statutes to be able to keep. This is what Moses ultimately handed them before they were to cross over the Jordan into the Promised Land. And so, like most laws and everything else and ordinances and statutes, it became a check the box. It became an order that you had to work through in your head. It became something that became mechanical. And over the course of time, we know the story. We know what happened. The mechanical part started to fade. For whatever reason, whether it was lack of interest or whether it was from outside influences on the nation of Israel, maybe they looked out and they saw these other people worshiping other gods and other pagans, and they said, you know what they're doing is a lot easier than what we're doing. Maybe we should go try that. And it became literally a wall of check the box. I don't believe that's what God intended. Because ultimately, in the end, they couldn't check them enough. And they no longer resided in the land that God had promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then we have today's gospel that takes these same commandments and begins to really dig into them the way that I do believe that God intended. Did you ever notice that in the small catechism that the Ten Commandments is the only thing out of the Old Testament that Luther put in? He put that in there because those commandments are universal. They're everlasting. Whether people want to admit it or not, they are the beginning point of every single law in almost every single country around the world, one way or another, can relate to the Ten Commandments. But yet we look at them as commandment. We look at them as law. We look at those things to trip us up or to make us nervous or to begin to start to check the box. That was not God's intent, nor is it Jesus' intent today. What Jesus is trying to drive home today is that the commandments aren't supposed to be simply read. They're not supposed to simply check the box. They are to be lived, they are to be felt in here. And they are to change our everyday life that we live in and through them by God's grace in Christ. You see, because as long as there's always a letter of the law, as long as I don't kill someone, everything else is okay? No. That's not how Jesus calls us to treat one another. Okay? Adultery, same thing. It's what's in here. It's what I see. Same thing as how we talk and we treat one another. Is this breaking a commandment? I don't know. Honor your father and your mother. Oh, do I know it? We are to fear and love God so that we do not anger or despise our parents or others in authority, but respect, obey, love, and serve them. Not bad for somebody my age, huh? I actually got that one. That's what it's supposed to be, that we care for them and they care for us. That's the part of the commandment. And when it becomes a box-checking type of thing, it will always be a stumbling block when God wanted these things there, not just as a line that says don't cross, but as a gift to each and every one of us as to how to live and to how to treat one another. That's what it's for. If we move forward in the gospel lessons that we will hear in the weeks to come, it all culminates, it all comes together in that simple thing where Jesus says, I give you a new commandment to love God and to love one another as I have loved you. Even the first thing that Moses says in today's reading in Deuteronomy, if you love God, love is first and foremost, and the reason why Christ, I believe, gave that command is because the command to love one another encompasses all the commandments. It encompasses our heart. It changes it. So that if we truly love our neighbor, if we truly love our spouse, if we truly love and care for others that are in authority, we cannot break these commandments because it's covered under that love of God. And it changes how we perceive things, it changes how we communicate, It changes how we live our lives to the point where there is nothing else. We take this with us each and every day. How often have you heard the saying, well, that's just business? Okay? Or of late, that's just politics. Why is there a difference? Jesus said, make your no-no and your yes-yes. It should be that simple with people. It should come from the heart. It should come from Christ. And we should be the same person in here as we are at home, as we are in business, as we are in our own views. And we should be respecting one another, not feeling ill of one another, and let the Holy Spirit in and through the commandments change our heart so that we don't have to have them memorized like your pastor's got to memorize them now, that they are simply there, that they're present, and they lead us and we live in them each and every day. Trust this. The commandments were not given for God. The commandments were given for you and I. And although it does seem like rules and regulations, in each and every one, there's a promise. There's a promise that God will care for us in the same way that he asks us to care for one another. And it's this that Jesus is attempting to drive home. To make it natural. To make it instinctive. To make it who we are. Now know that you're not always going to hit the ball. There will be days we strike out. And there will be days where you're not going to hit the ball straight down the fairway. In fact, there's going to be days you might not even hit it at all. And Jesus is there too. Because that's why he stepped up and he died for you and me. Is because those days still exist. That no matter how hard we read, no matter how hard we memorize, no matter how hard we try to make that our life in Christ, we're still broken, folks. And we're going to have our good days and our bad. But know that in the good and the bad, that Jesus is always there. And living in and through the love of Christ, living out the very commandments that were handed down thousands of years ago, the world sees Christ through us. We change the world in our own homes and anywhere we go by living in and through that. We live one way in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and it becomes who we are. It becomes natural. It becomes the gift that God intended it to be. Don't let the commandments be a burden. Let them be the gift that God intended. Look, read them, and hold on to them in and through the love of Christ. And I do believe it shall be so. Amen.